This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and we do have some Commanders audio. We'll go across here with you in just a moment. G-Bag Nation, General at your service, Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander, Wolchuk and Schiafalo, plus Carter Freeman, and along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Okay. Rangers game coming up, pregame at 8 o'clock tonight, first pitch at 8:40. They fell to the Mariners last night. Chris Young with us yesterday. He was terrific talking about how much he hates to lose. Many Tolos out there thought he kind of sounded angry, so we asked him about it. You can go back and listen to that entire interview. It happened yesterday at 4:20. Rangers fans, if you want to be fired up for a guy that is, you know, inspired to make this team better, you can listen to Chris Young. I didn't think he sounded mad. I just think he has a very matter-of-fact and business-like way of answering questions. And I feel like he's been that way the entire season. But, you know, multiple people were asking, like, he sounds ticked. And I like it if he's ticked, you know. I think one of the things that jammed me up about John Daniels and the way that he operated things, he was almost at war with the emotional state of competition. I think it's because he wasn't a jock. You know, he was a nerd, and he preached like mindfulness, and everything took like kind of a soft feel into the leadership. I think Chris Young's going to be a little bit more real.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more motivational like that. Speaks the player's language.
We need to sneak a little Cam in there like the Bills did to Ken Dorsey. Because I think you might get a little Ken Dorsey popping out of Chris Young from time to time. Where he just goes absolutely berserk. Yeah. Over a loss.
Well, yeah,
I like that.
I know that he, you know, when we had him on earlier in the year and we asked him about being superstitious and he kind of played it off. From what I've heard, he's extremely superstitious and he is a big time. I mean, he grew up in Dallas, went to Highland Park. He grew up a massive Rangers fan. So watching the game, I think he still watches it like we do. He's a fan at heart. So he is absolutely slamming things and mother bleeping, and then he's got to put his GM hat on and go talk to the players and be, you know, as sane as possible. But that's why I love Chris Young, and I really am confident that he's going to get this thing turned around.
With most fiery guys, usually there's a little bit of regret on the back end, and they're like, oh, no. You know, like Banny would always be like, well, I probably shouldn't have shooken my finger at that other manager like that or tried to fight the whole other team. You know, maybe not the best thing I should do. But I think competitive people get wrapped up in the moment and they want to get after it. And they get tucked off when they lose and they need time to really calm down, don't they, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I mean, my personal experience of, you know, working with the Cowboys and growing up here, it's hard because you do. I felt like I let everybody down. I felt like I let all my friends down that, you know, that really love this team. And yeah, there's things that you know, you go through every day and you're like, man, I know we could do this better. I know we could do it another way. I know this could, you know, work. I've seen it work another way. So, yeah, if you know, Chris being a longtime Rangers fan and stuff like that, that's something you're going to feel deep down inside. You do. You feel that. You feel that hurt when you don't get the job done. And in his case, I hope he gets the job done because we didn't get the job
done.
Yeah, we didn't get it done in the early 2000s. And that's the thing. One of my biggest regrets in sports, all my years in sports, was those years that I was with the Cowboys in scouting that we weren't a better football team.
Instead of pitchers, you should have tried, like, basketball players. Like, I heard Allen Iverson was a great quarterback in high school.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'd still be in the league if what they're doing today with quarterbacks, when they're just giving up on first-round picks or they're cutting guys that are making $40 million or whatever. We never had that opportunity. And, there's a lot of other things that happened. But the fact when you don't have a quarterback in this league, it it absolutely kills you.
Okay, this Commander's audio in 2 minutes. Aaron Judge with number 61. It's been tough for him to get a pitch to hit recently. Pitchers don't want to be the guy, so they've increased the amount of bad pitches to him by like 40%, but he got it last night, and the Yanks are off tonight. Gio Reyna out 10 days with a muscle strain, suffered against Saudi Arabia. I watched that game again last night. He played about 30 minutes. He's a terrific player. He reminds me of the Brazilian Kaká from about 15 years ago.
Okay.
That's what I think of Gio Reyna. He just can't stay healthy. You know, he's hurt for like 6 months, shows up, goes on incredible runs, dribbling the ball, beats like eight players, and then pulls his hamstring at the end. So the great news is, and trust me, if you are interested in American soccer and actually seeing them do good in the World Cup, if you're not plugged in to the American soccer system and what we've built, this is just the beginning. This is just the first generation of players that come on the heels of 40 years of hard work trying to find the right system for developing talent in America. This isn't a fluke that all five of these guys are amazing. It is a fluke that they all appear to have Greg Oden level durability. Yeah. That's the fluke. So the next generation of players, if this group can't stay healthy and dominate, I am really, really confident. You know, and all it would take is for you to be involved in North Texas youth soccer, which is like the capital of the United States, you know, or at least a major one of them, and get an eyeful of what these kids are capable of doing, especially if you grew up like in the 80s, 90s, and you played soccer and you remember it. Go look at what these kids are doing now, and it is freaking unbelievable. And there's like 50 teams in every age group that would go to a lot of states and win the entire championship. So I know a lot of these kids are coming through, you know, North Texas, California, Ohio, Florida. And if you're plugged into that, this World Cup might suck again for us. But the silver lining is we're actually producing amazing players. They're just getting hurt too damn much right now.
Okay, let me ask you a question real quick about that. Do you think the fact that our best players are playing international soccer is a good thing or a bad thing?
That's great.
It's a great thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's where you got to go.
But is international soccer becoming too many matches? Too many.
Everybody does that.
What I'm saying, though. I mean, do you worry about the fitness of our team because these kids
you
are
gotta
having...
You got to manage it, but it's what all teams do because there's so many different competitions for the top
teams.
That's
what I'm saying, though. I'm all for them getting the experience of playing in any league over in Europe. I'm all for that. The problem I run into is, and it's even what international soccer players have talked about, is the number of matches they play.
Yeah.
That not only their team stuff, but these different competitions that they play in, and then the friendlies and everything else that they have to deal with.
Yeah, it is
a lot.
You
know, the body can only take so much.
But the players that go over there, the next time you see them after being exposed to that level of competition for a year or two, they move different. They're more urgent. They're more aware because you have to be to succeed in that environment. And I think if you want to consistently have top teams, you got to send all your players over there until MLS rises its level to that.
What is though the EPL done to Pulisic?
Well, he's just been hurt, but he has had a bad year.
Yeah,
he has not been playing well.
No, he's had just a couple of stretches with Chelsea where the manager trusted him and he played well, but then he'd get hurt. I think a lot of it just comes back to the injuries. Yeah. Okay, Commander's audio, Carson Wentz. What is he thinking as he gets set to prepare for Micah Parsons and the Cowboys? Here's Carson.
Yeah, I mean, great player. That's a great defense, great front. They fly around, they play fast. So we know what we're up against. And, you know, I have nothing but confidence in our guys to protect and the things that we'll do to, counteract that and different things. But, again, I'm very excited for the matchup. I know our guys are excited for it. And they're a great defense, great front. And I'm confident we have a great front as well. And we're going to be ready for the challenge.
That's so fake. Oh. Yeah,
well, he even sounds like he's lacking confidence.
Yeah,
I have no doubt.
I have the confidence. I'm like, no, you don't. Yeah. No, it's a big challenge.
He's a broken guy.
He really is broken. He really is.
I would be broken too. Their drive summaries offensively last week. Talk about nine sacks. Their first 11 possessions were 8 punts, 1 fumble, and 2 turnovers on downs.
Yeah, the problem is it's
dear
him.
God, bro.
It's him, though. I mean, granted.
Yeah, he is a – like, I don't want to be the guy that points fingers, but if you were Carson Wentz, I'd be pointing it at you right now.
Their
saying,
offensive
your problem,
line,
sir.
Bad. It is bad. And that left side specifically, Leno and Norwell, their left tackle, left guard combo, horrible. But Wentz is holding onto the ball – the drop back level, I mean, he's He is just, it's kind of similar to what we talked about with Burrow, right? I'd say at least half those sacks were probably on him, Brian.
Yeah. He's in a situation, when you're taking sacks and it's third and five, you're not seeing things. You're not feeling things in the pocket. You know, and the problem with him is he will feel things in the pocket and he will try and make a throw as he's horizontal, you know, and the ball will come flying out or something like that. So, yeah, a lot of his stuff is self-inflicted, I think.
Yeah, and we can actually measure these things now. So the only quarterback worse at preventing sacks is Justin Fields. Carson Wentz is second in line in terms of being the worst in the sport.
Yeah, it's like he's been going backwards ever since his second season.
When he got hurt, I think that hurt him. And then his team won without him.
Yeah.
I think that was tough for him.
Broke his body, then broke his mind.
Absolutely.
And now he's got to worry because Charles Haley was seen photoed working one-on-one with Micah Parsons at practice today.
How about another thing he had to deal with?
Charles Barefoot?
Let me
circle
around.
Back on that.
The thing about with Wentz, too, his experience in Indianapolis where the owner comes out and says, listen, you two, you general manager, head coach, you don't get rid of him now. I'm getting rid of both of you.
Wow.
That how about that wearing on you a little bit?
Charles Haley foot update in the photo working on the pass rushing today at practice with Micah. He is sockless wearing Nike slides.
Okay.
So
Charles Haley's out there?
His toes are apparent. Yeah, Charles Haley is one-on-one working with Micah Parsons as seen photoed. Ed Werder, good buddy Ed. He tweeted out the photo from practice.
Not to over soccer you in the same segment, but Charles Haley's daughter is a two-time national champion at Stanford.
Yeah.
She plays professional.
Mm-hmm.
She showed up at Abby's skill session last Friday. She's a former student of this great skills teacher, and she just jumped back in for a warm-up session with like high school and middle school kids, and she was amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, holy crap, it was so cool to get to watch her. And she was schooling everybody, dude. It was it was amazing and sweetest girl, you know, in case you were wondering.
Takes after the mom.
Yeah, takes after the mom, I guess.
Did the coach inside you, Dawson, like try to start figuring out how we can doctor up some of these birth certificates and get a ringer on one of your
right?
weekend
Dawson
teams?
Was over there trying to tell her she wasn't any good going through the cones. No, you skipped the cone there. You get back in line.
I was just trying to let Abby know who it was, you know, so she could appreciate it. We got a picture afterwards, though. Okay, Sam Cosmi on what concerns they have about the Cowboys. Here's the offensive lineman.
I don't think we have a lot of concerns. I think we're very optimistic about going in there. It's going to be a very passionate game, very physical game. So, you know, I don't have any concerns. I don't know if anybody else does. I believe in this team. I believe in the coaches, and I believe in the players. So I believe we can go out there and really, really, you know, show our best selves. And I'm confident in that.
Right on.
Yeah, the confidence is just leaking out of you, man.
Yeah.
It is perfusive.
That's the problem right there. He knows. You know, he knows. And, you know, I think we're a confident group. I'm confident. I don't know about anybody else, you know. I'm like, okay. In reality, though, they watch the tape. They know they're up against it. They have a quarterback that holds the ball. They've got skill guys on the outside. They got to try and find a way to get the ball. They got to run the ball. You know, they don't run the ball particularly well, but they have backs that can. That's on this offensive line.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he knows that. He knows that. I mean, he was a second-round pick. He's not playing like a guy that was a second-round pick.
No. And the best thing that they can get right now is to not be confident, because what they have to realize is how horrible they were in giving up 9 sacks.
Yep.
And say, no, we're not confident. Every one of us needs help.
Yeah.
We got to be in mass protect. We can't leave Carson Wentz out like that. Right. If we can't do it individually, then we need a scheme. You know, that's the mindset you need.
Absolutely.
Not we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine is going to get you murdered.
We have no concerns. That actually concerns me if I'm a Washington fan, that you don't have any concerns. You should be you don't even, you should be living at the
concerns?
Office.
I am loaded with concerns right now.
That's all you should
have. Watched our team.
Well, you knew it'd be, if he was really concerned, he would name every single defensive player. Fair. You know, it's like, man, they've got a good, you know. Parsons is good. You know, they've got Armstrong can rush.
Warren's had 3 sacks.
They have to rattle off like 12 names.
That's what I'm saying. That's when you know they're really, really concerned, when they start rattling off all the names of the guys they have to deal with.
Terry McLaurin on the importance of this game. Here is the Washington playmaker.
Most importantly, the thing on my mind is you don't want to drop 3 games. You don't want to go on the road and get beat in a division and then have a chance of losing 2 division games in a row. So there's a lot, you know, at stake, I feel like, for our team, just to try to get this our momentum back in some positive light for our locker room. But at the same time, I think if we could come out there and play our style of game and really just not get behind early, I think that just gives us the best chance to be successful. Like I said earlier, just more complimentary football, guys flying around defensively, creating havoc and turnovers, and offensively creating explosive plays and sustaining drives. When you have those opportunities, you're going to be in a lot of games. So with a physical team like Dallas, who's going to give us pressure defensively, going to try to create explosive plays on their offense, we got to weather the storm because they're going to be really hyped up coming back in their house in a division opponent.
Yeah, you know, I think...
Well said.
It is a good answer. I think for them as well, their fan base hates the Cowboys so much that if you can beat the Cowboys, then it kind of takes some of the heat off of you for a sustained period. Like, their fans will remember, yeah, bad year, but man, remember when we took it to the Cowboys? It's that sad and pathetic. You know, here, the Cowboys fans are like, whatever, you're just another team that hates us. But I think for Washington and Philly especially, and a lot of the players play into that because they know how much the fan base eats it up. Like, I bet that's what the reporter really meant. Like, it's Cowboy week. What do you think? And he went into a breakdown about how they got to win the division and all that. All right, when we come back, Nation, let's talk some Mavs. Five focuses of training camp and more as we're now just 6 days away from the start of preseason here in the NBA. That's coming up next, the G-Bag Nation.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.